Now, as you probably know, I am a Baptist minister and I feel slightly ambivalent about celebrating the British monarchy. So, standing here with some trepidation this morning. You may not know your Baptist history, but here's a very small bit for you. A man called Thomas Helwys is recognised as the founder of the first Baptist church in Spitalfields in London. In 1613, he wrote a short booklet, which was called, in fact, A Short Declaration of the Mystery of Iniquity. They knew how to choose their titles in those days. And this, amongst other things, defended the rights of all to religious liberty. He sent a copy to King James I, who exercised his power against that freedom and had Helwys imprisoned in Newgate Jail, where he died in 1616. So I must choose my words carefully this morning. Having said that, I have nothing but praise for Queen Elizabeth II. She has, I feel, been a remarkable monarch who has crossed eras and transcended the times in her new Elizabethan era. And in all of this, her Christian faith has been not just the bedrock, but as Archbishop Stephen Cottrell said on Friday in his address, the well and the fountain of her life. Against this, and I'm sure some of you will have seen this service like me, was the supreme irony of our Prime Minister Boris Johnson reading from Philippians 4. Whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, think about these things. One of these two people serves his own ends, it seems. The other serves Jesus Christ. Well, to show that I have no hard feelings to the Queen about her forebears' imprisonment of my Baptist predecessor, Helwys, this morning's sermon comes largely from the Queen as we think about the spirit of the Queen's King. On the day of Pentecost, as we know, the Spirit came like a rushing wind with fire and praises to God in many languages. And today the Spirit of the King may still come like that. But more often, the Spirit arrives in the still small voice, the whispering of conscience, the inner strength that empowers us to follow the King and make him known. And that seems to be the case, doesn't it, with our Queen. She knows the King deeply and she has his Spirit to be a unique disciple of Jesus Christ. So listen to these words from the then Princess Elizabeth on her 21st birthday. I declare before you that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong. But I shall not have strength to carry out this resolution alone unless you join it with me, as I now invite you to do. I know your support will be unfailingly given. God help me to make good my vow, and God bless all of you who are willing to share it. And over the years, the 70 years, she has made good, hasn't she, on that vow. And like her, we are called by Jesus to serve and to share our faith. We follow the same King as our Queen. We can be filled with the same Spirit as her. Although our positions on earth are very different to hers, in heaven we are one in Christ. Called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. At her coronation in 1953, Elizabeth was anointed with oil, an outward and visible symbol of the inward invisible grace that comes to us by the Holy Spirit. For her, of course, it was the mark. It was also a mark that God had chosen her to be queen, something I know that she believes strongly. But without needing all of the ceremony, we too are anointed with the Spirit as we commit our lives to Jesus. And hopefully we're anointed with the Spirit again and again through our lives. And I believe that nothing can take away our anointing in the Spirit. He is, as we said the other week, our guarantee of an eternal inheritance in Jesus. How will we then emulate the Queen in being filled with the Spirit of the King? In 2000, the Queen said, "For me, the teachings of Christ and my own personal accountability before God provide a framework in which I try to lead my life. I, like so many of you, have drawn great comfort in difficult times from Christ's word and example." And in 2002, she said, "I know just how much I rely on my faith to guide me through the good times and the bad. Each day is a new beginning. I know that the only way to live my life is to try to do what is right, to take the long view." She's certainly done that, hasn't she? "And to give of my best in all that the day brings, and to put my trust in God." And if anyone should doubt the sincerity of the Queen's belief that Jesus is more than just a moral teacher, listen to this from 2011. "Although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a savior with the power to forgive." Our King calls us by his Spirit. He anoints us. He fills us with his Spirit. And finally, he equips us. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And the Queen has been uniquely equipped by the circumstances of her birth, her education, her upbringing, her experiences. But more than anything else, it is the grace that her King has given by his Spirit that impacts her life. We are each unique and, yes, very different to the Queen. But like her, we have the gift of God's Spirit and the gifts of grace that he chooses to give to each. We are called, we are filled, we are equipped by the Spirit of the Queen's King. This is a quote not from the Queen and not on the screen indeed, but I came across this quote on my recent retreat in the book that I was reading, which covers really all three of those things of being filled and called and equipped. And this was it, and it continues to challenge me and speak to me. "God's call won't take you where his grace won't keep you. God's call won't take you where his grace won't keep you." I'm sure that that has been the Queen's experience over the 70 long years of her reign and through her life before that. It's certainly been my experience, although sometimes we have to cling on to such thoughts, such promises as that, don't we? But I wonder, will we, like our Queen, allow the Spirit of the King to direct our lives where he calls us to serve? Here are a few final words of the Queen that I want to share with you, taken from her Christmas message in 2013. "This is the time of year when we remember that God sent his only Son to serve, not to be served. He restored love and service to the center of our lives in the person of Jesus. For Christians, as for all people of faith, reflection, meditation, and prayer helps us to renew ourselves in God's love as we strive daily to become better people. The Christmas message shows us that this love is for everyone. There is no one beyond its reach." course, that belief is what prompts us, what prompts people like you, Emma, to go to Uganda, I know South Africa before that, and who knows where, and you'll tell us more about that in a moment. Would you like to come out and join me here? I will pray for you as you come and share with us too. And it's really good to have you with us once again. Well, yeah, there you go. I'll probably get smaller when I as I get older, but you may not get bigger. Okay. But let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for Emma. We love her. We know that you love her. We love to have her with us on her journeys back from Uganda. And we pray, Lord, that this time back in the UK, this extended 3 months, will be a time of rest and refreshment for her. And Lord, may it be a time of inspiration for us this morning as we hear what she has been privileged to be a part of in Uganda, as we hear maybe a bit about what you may be calling her to in the future. So Lord, bless Emma, we pray. Bless her to continue to be a blessing to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. excuse my voice. I'm still coughing a little bit, but I'm not infectious, I promise. So I think most of you know me, and I know most of you. So you know what I do in Uganda. I'm using my phone not to text or be on social media, but for notes, just in case you wondered. So, excuse me. It's so good to be back. It's so good to be back with you, and feels like it's been a long 2 years since I saw you. But what I loved about lockdown was that I got to come to church here. So I was able to join you during the 2020 online while everyone was at home. I also got to be here, which is one of the things I really, really enjoyed. And it was such a privilege. So there was many bad things about COVID, but some really good things as well. Because it made me really feel like I always feel part of the family, but it just made me feel even more part of the family that I was here along with you guys, and we were praying together, and yeah, just a wider church. So I love that about what happened with lockdown. Excuse me. So I'm still coughing slightly, but I am healed. I believe it, that the long COVID is going, no longer long COVID. But yeah, still struggling a little bit with my chest. So like everywhere, like here in Uganda, we struggled through COVID. To be honest with you, I'm just going to be honest right from the beginning. I have been praying for about 2 weeks about what to say, and nothing has been coming. And I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to say? So I'm just praying that Holy Spirit, because he's here with us, he's in each of our lives. So I'm just praying that he will speak to you individually and to me, and it won't be my words, but it'll be his words that come and just give us what we need today. Because I've got a few notes, but I don't fully know what I'm going to say. So we leave it to him to take control. But yeah, it's been a few... Oh, thank you so much. It's been a long 2 years. And like in Uganda, like here, everyone was struggling in Uganda as well. We also had a lockdown. We had many people, probably in the second wave of COVID, we had a lot more people die. People struggled financially. So I brought some, I didn't know if the children were going to be here, but they're not, but we can all be children. I brought some like Ugandan money to kind of show how much people are getting or earn in Uganda. So normally in some of the slum communities that we're working in, people might get like, this is 5,000 Ugandan shillings, which I always think 5,000 pounds when I get it. So I'm like, oh no, it's not. But I wish it was. So yeah, this is 5,000 Ugandan shillings, which is about equivalent to a pound. I know it's not exact for those who are mathematical, but just rounding it up, it's around a pound. And this is probably what people get, a pound a day, if on a good day. So during COVID, people were getting less. And this is 20,000 Ugandan shillings, or 25 is equivalent to around £5. And that's probably how much, I don't drink milk, I drink alternative milk. So if I wanted to buy some soya milk or oat milk, it would cost me this, which is quite a lot of money. Or a cup of coffee out would cost 20,000. So that gives you a bit of an idea of how much how much things are in Uganda. And you can get some local food maybe for, if you went out to a local restaurant for 5,000 shillings, you probably could get some local food. But people also have this a day to pay for their rent, to pay for school, to pay for medical issues. So, and then during lockdown, a lot of people were out of work because we weren't allowed to travel. Our cars were banned, the borders to other areas were closed. So it hit people very hard. We had a curfew. I don't know if you guys had a curfew, but we weren't allowed to go out after 7 p.m. until 6 a.m. the next day. So you had to be in your house by 7, and a lot of people just, if you weren't, they arrested people. And there's still people in prison now who were arrested just for being out after curfew because they were still selling their fruit or their veg. And because of COVID, the courts, the private courts were working, but the public courts were not working. So if you had no money, you just stayed in prison. And there's still people who are in prison now just for breaking curfew. And some people even got beaten and beaten by the police and things like that. So it was pretty harsh. And if you were sick, it was very difficult to get to a hospital. Ambulances, it's not like an ambulance here. You have to pay for the ambulance and you have to call them up and then wait for them to be able to come. So we had one lady who has a daughter who has a chronic illness, and she got very, very sick, and she was dying. And the hospital was probably like, I don't know, maybe like 10 miles away. And then she put her daughter, she's 12. She's small, but not that small. And she carried her on her back and walked to the hospital to get her treated because there was no cars or ambulances. So that's just a bit of a kind of idea of how lockdown was for us. Then COVID kind of went, but they decided, oh, we'll just keep the rules. So we only got rid of our curfew in January of 2022. And things are slightly getting back to normal. But obviously, like here and everywhere else around the world, the effects of it is still bad and people are still struggling. So yeah, it's been a bit crazy, which has been hard. But during the pandemic, one of the things that God really spoke to us about as a team, I did have like a little PowerPoint of a video, but I didn't manage to get it on the computer, so I apologize. There's no like pictures, but it's okay. as a team, at the beginning of lockdown, we felt that God was really speaking to a number of us about just going back to basics, going back to where we had come from as a team. And he was saying that we really need to just spend time with him, go back to just creating a space where we just come on our knees and spend time with God. And with no agenda, not asking for anything, not praying for anything, just being in his presence. Just coming and saying, we glorify you, God. We love you, God, because you're amazing. And just praising him for who he is. And just coming and sitting and not really doing anything, but just being praising the Lord. And we felt strongly we needed to do that. So we decided to dedicate our Fridays a whole day of just prayer and worship, where we would come and pray and just worship the Lord. So during lockdown for 2 years, at first when we weren't allowed to go to work, we didn't do it. But when we were allowed to go back to work, we started just doing Fridays where we would just spend time with God and just really be in his presence. And we did that for about 2 years until things started to open up again. And I think each member of our team and myself changed in ways that we probably couldn't even explain. God was really moving and he was really working in each of us. And just for me personally, just showing me bits of my life I needed to surrender, because we know the Holy Spirit lives in us, but also when the Holy Spirit lives in us, we have to get rid of self, because selfish and the Spirit can't. There's always that battle, isn't there, between us? And so these last 2 years for us have been a lot of surrendering and God showing us where we need to let go, because I think often we don't know where we need to to really surrender and let go. And there's things that we're holding on to that we don't even realize that we think are okay. But God's like, no, I want you to give this to me. And I feel like for our team, these 2 years were him showing us those things just as we came and sat in his presence. And I just think, I don't know, I was having a conversation with someone the other day and we were talking about the Lord's Prayer. And you know, when you say the Lord's Prayer, you say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And sometimes I get stuck at that bit, because that's it, isn't it? Our Father who art in heaven. We just want to praise your name. We just want to be in your presence. Before anything else, we want to just come before you and praise you, because you're awesome. Even though horrible things happen, the world is spinning out around us, but we know you are good, faithful, and trustworthy, and that's where we have to put ourselves. So, yeah, just after that, God also was giving us a word around, God gave us a word as a team in Isaiah 43, verse 19, where it says, Behold, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I can't remember the rest, but you know the one, you can look it up. And we really felt like God is doing something new in us. But to allow him to do this new thing, there's parts of our work maybe, or even ourselves that need to die, that we need to let go of, so that so that a new thing can come. And part of this was just really, surrendering to him and kind of scaling back on going into the communities a bit so we could just spend time with him. So we felt him just saying, come and surrender everything, because coming back to God is where everything else flows from. Because it's not us doing anything. When we go out into the communities, it's, yes, we're the hands and feet, but it's God who's moving. It's us bringing God and us bringing Jesus, but it's not us doing it. So to be able to go out, we first have to be filled up. And so that's what we really felt. And God was speaking to us a lot about Acts 2 and about the upper room and about what happened in that upper room. And I think sometimes for me, as a Christian, you always think, you know about Pentecost, celebrate it, we hear it, we read it, but do we think, I know I don't always think about the significance of what happened. So in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Like, imagine just a wind coming and sweeping up this whole place. And they saw what seemed to be, sorry, I say this in a very northern way, tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And I'm always imagining, can you imagine that we are here worshipping and you look at the person next to you and there's fire on their head? Like, what the heck? That's amazing. But I just read it as a thing, you know, that's in the Bible. But actually, when we really see it, I'm like, I want that. I want to see that. I want to see tongues of fire on our heads. I want to feel that wind. It's possible because it's happened. And it, just because it happened then doesn't mean it's not going to happen again. It makes me very excited. And in March, we had a conference in our team, just a small one, just with the people from our team, and some people from the community also came in. And we saw amazing things happen. We just spent the week where we waited on the Holy Spirit. And I can't say I saw tongues of fire, but we felt fire in our bodies as we were praying for each other. People started to speak different languages. People were speaking in just languages they've never spoken in, and people was recognizing the languages, and it was amazing. Some of the things that we were seeing gold appear on people's hands. We were seeing gold, speckles of gold in the air, things that I'm like, really? If I hadn't seen it for myself, it was really, really incredible. And we just felt the presence of the Lord so strongly. And it was like an upper room experience. And I just feel like the Lord is saying that there's like something that's happening now everywhere, not just in Uganda, not just with us, but everywhere around the world. We're starting to see signs and wonders. Yes, a lot of the time he speaks to us, Holy Spirit is just very quiet. But I think there's a time coming, and we're going to start to see these signs and wonders everywhere. It's coming and it's here, and we just have to be available and we just have to be ready. And it's just, yeah, it was just incredible. And even like, just as proof as it's not just in Uganda, last week I was with Debs and Pete Last, which I think many of you know. And last minute, someone said, oh, Emma, will you say a few words at the church? So I did. Didn't really say anything very significant, I don't think. I just explained what we did. When I came and sat down, I had gold all over my hands. And I've got a video if anyone wants to show it, because I'm a bit cynical unless I see things for myself. And there was gold just appeared. And it's because it wasn't to do with me. It wasn't to do with what I said. In the service, we were talking about the presence of God. We were talking about ascension, Jesus ascending to heaven, but also heaven on earth and the presence of God. And I feel like the Lord's starting to show us these tangible things of his presence, which is really exciting. I think it's exciting. And so that has been really cool. So from there, we decided every Friday morning, now we're just going to be in the presence of Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit. But in the afternoon, we're now going to go into the communities, and we're going to do what we do in the morning, in the afternoon in the communities. So we go into our communities and we take a guitar, sometimes worship, sometimes pray with people, just see what the Lord wants to do. And last week I wasn't there, but they had a blind man was able to see. They prayed for someone who was deaf and was able to hear again. And these miracles, like when you read further down in Acts 2 and you see things that after they were in the upper room, then they went out and they see all these miracles happening. It's amazing. And that's what we were starting to see. And there was people who just were coming to Jesus like this. We'd go and speak to them and say, do you know Jesus? No, but I want to. There was a lady who I went to speak to with a colleague, and she's a Muslim lady. And we were talking about Jesus, and so we said, would you like to know Jesus for yourself as your personal savior? And at first she wasn't sure, so we said, well, you can think about it and we can come back. Then she was like, no, I want him now. And so we prayed for them, and we were just seeing more and more people. Like one person was like, I need to go and get some water, but stay there, don't come back, because I want this Jesus. Then they came back. And just seeing people who just were hungry for God. And we weren't doing anything, we were just there. We were just available. And it's just incredible to see the Holy Spirit moving and people being delivered from different things. We saw one guy, me and my colleague Moses were like, oh, we should go in this house. We feel like the Holy Spirit's saying, go here. So we did. And there was a man, and we started to talk to him and say, feel like there's some unforgiveness in your heart. We're just being prompted by what we were hearing from the Holy Spirit. And he had this issue with his father where he'd had an accident and he'd got some money from like compensation, but the father took all the money and spent it, so he was left with nothing. And he was like, I've had this unforgiveness against my father for such a long time, and I just need to forgive him. And we prayed with him, and he forgave his father, and there was freedom. And so just seeing so many incredible things happen, and I think just individually as well. And when I think of Acts 2, sorry, I'm not actually reading the verses, but when I think of Acts 2 and what happened in the upper room, I think of like the change in individual people. And I love Simon Peter. Like when we read about Simon Peter in the Gospels, he's so like, I always think he's like me, hot-headed, like just a bit crazy, and just jumps into things. He was doubting, he was denying Jesus, a bit and I'm a bit like that, just go my own way sometimes. And if you've ever watched The Chosen, I don't know if anyone's watched The Chosen, Simon Peter annoys me completely in that program, but then I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm so much like him, so I must annoy other people. But then when you see him in Acts, I'm sure he still has some of that stuff there, but he's so different. There's like a level of confidence, and the Holy Spirit has come upon him. He's like a new person, and he's just got this level of confidence that he's just like, he steps up there and he preaches, probably like he's never preached before, from a place of truth, because he can feel the Spirit and he knows. So he's just preaching from a place of truth. Then he goes out in the next chapter and he goes and heals a lame guy, I think I'm right, on the road, and he's just, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. That confidence, which before you wouldn't have seen, because he is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I think we were just to, obviously we all have the Holy Spirit in us, but we need to activate it sometimes and say, Holy Spirit, take control, or just even spend that time in the presence of Jesus to allow him to refill us and to surrender what we need to, so he has all of us. And I think I've seen in our team and in the communities, people change completely. Like just when we worship now, we used to have, okay, we'll plan these songs. You've got to be able to play guitar to worship lead. Now we stand in a circle, say, okay, if you've got a song, and people are just bringing song after song, and sometimes they're not songs, it's just what's on their heart. And we're just worshiping. It doesn't matter whether you can sing or you can't. People are just worshiping the Lord, and I'm seeing them growing in confidence, going out and putting their hands on people and seeing deliverance, and they're like, oh, that's never happened before, because they're allowing the Holy Spirit to empower them, and it's incredible. And for me personally, I got to a place where the Spirit broke me completely, and I can't tell you what about, because I don't really know, but I know that I got to a place of brokenness and I was sobbing on the floor. But he lifted me up and he empowered me, because I surrendered what I needed to surrender. I just needed to give him everything. Say, it doesn't matter, I just trust you. I don't want anything else but you. And it's true. I know I often say it and don't actually believe it, if I'm honest. But in those moments, I believe it. I don't want anything else, because nothing else is worth anything apart from Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And if I don't have him, I don't have anything. I can't do anything. I can't be in Uganda. I can't be in England. I can't be in a normal job, or I can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. And that's the truth. And I have to get to that place of brokenness where I admit it and be like, I can't. It's only you. It's only you. If I want to get married and have children, if I never get married and have children, it's fine, because I have you. And that's the place that I got to on the floor in our small, tiny office in Boyageri, which I can't even pronounce, in Uganda. And I just felt at that moment people praying for me, and I just felt a heat, a fire inside me. You probably couldn't have seen it on my head, but I felt the fire inside me, and I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he's still there, he never leaves. When we've asked him in, he never leaves, he's there. Sometimes you just need to activate him again, but he's always with us. And from that moment, I felt a new confidence. Normally, I'd be almost thrown up coming to stand up here, because I was so nervous. But now I stand up in different places. I'm nervous, but I know Holy Spirit has it, because it's not me, it's Him. And there's a change that happened. And something also happened to me in that He gave me a new gift of, I think it's a gift of compassion, but I feel strongly for people, so I can feel like what someone else is feeling. And when I was in the community, I got this pain. I was talking to this lady and I had this pain like shooting down my neck and into my shoulder. And I was like, what on earth is that? And it was so painful. And then I felt the Holy Spirit say, ask this lady, she's called Mama Shana, ask Mama Shana if she's got a pain in her neck and shoulder. So I asked her and she said, yes. So I was like, okay, this is weird. So I was like, can I pray for you? So she said, yes. So I prayed for her. And then I said, is the pain gone? And she said, no, I still had the pain. It hadn't gone. So anyway, we left and we went somewhere else. And as the evening kind of went on, the pain started to go. And I saw Mama Shana the next day. I said, oh, how's your shoulder? She's like, oh, it's gone. It went during the evening. And I was like, oh, okay. And so a few things like that started to happen to me where I'd randomly get a stomach pain and then it'll be someone else will have a stomach pain. And as soon as I pray, it goes. And God's speaking to me in different ways, which again is incredible. So anyway, from all of that, there's been so much going on and the Lord has just been really working among us. And I think it's not just us in Uganda, it's everywhere. And I'm excited to see what He is going to do. And from that, we have started doing church within our communities, church that is kind of similar to the Acts church, where they come together, they gather, they kind of share their belongings. We've been encouraging that within each of our communities. And we've been raising up people who can take charge of those small house churches. And we've also done one in my house as well, which is for people in our local area where I live, which has been really, really amazing. It's like sometimes four people and we just sit there and wait on the Lord. And sometimes we pray for each other, sometimes we sing, and we just see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so I think as time goes on, more of that's going to happen. And I feel like there's more. This is just the beginning. There's more that He's going to do. There's more that He's going to do through our staff, our team, more through the people we love and care about in the communities. I feel like we're going to see more miracles, again, not just in Uganda, but everywhere. And it's what the Lord is doing around the world. And it's just for us to be, are we ready and are we available and do we want it? Because we have a choice. The Holy Spirit's in us, if you've invited Him in, is there. But do you want more? And then we can always choose yes or no. It's up to us. Because He's so gracious and kind like that as well. but I want more. I want to see more. I want to know more. I want to just feel Him more. So that's, yeah. And it's, are we ready? Are we ready for it? Because it's not little stuff, it's big stuff. Because sometimes I doubt a lot. And the Lord's saying, like, there's things where I've seen someone, prayed for someone. She couldn't breathe. I think she had COVID. But she was, like, really, really struggling to breathe. And as we prayed, her breathing started to settle. Then she went to hospital. And then she got better. My brain said, oh, the hospital healed her and gave her the medicine. But actually, really? Or was it the Lord? And so it's choosing again to believe, because I choose cynical, being cynical over the Lord sometimes. And He's like, no, look what's in front of you. Look, Emma, look, I'm working. And yeah, I just pray that I see more, and whoever wants to sees more as well. And yeah, as we move forward, for me personally, I'm sure I can talk about this more another time, but as you know, I've been in Rwanda, and then I came out, and going back to Rwanda is looking like it might not happen for a while, or maybe I won't go back personally. But there was still kind of, I was praying and asking God, okay, what do you want me to do? Stay in Uganda? Come to England for an extended time? What's next? And as I was praying, the Lord, through the team and through Nicola, who's my boss, They've asked me to go to Kenya because we have a team in Kenya, in Kisumu, which they are doing what we do in Uganda, but in a small village called Kisumu, well, town called Kisumu. And they've asked me to go just to, not as a leader, not as someone in charge, but just going to strengthen them, strengthen the team, pray for them, take what we've been seeing in Uganda in our morning devotions and our Friday prayer days and taking it across to them and kind of just encouraging and building up. So hopefully when I go back, we've still got a lot of logistics to work out, but I'll be going to Kenya for, I'll be living in Uganda, but traveling to Kenya every couple of months to really, for about a month at a time, just to really build them up, empower them, and take what we've kind of learned in Uganda there, but also take what they're doing back, because we all learn from each other, right? And God's doing different things. And I do feel that's going to be a pattern of how we work in the future, of kind of growing as an organization. We'd be going to encourage people and really building our vision and values to other people in other countries, and just, yeah, being available to the Spirit. So that's it. That's long, I'm sorry. I tried to be short. And someone wants 25,000.
Yeah, don't be sorry, Emma. That's fine. Just one thing. It's really lovely to have you with us, and thank you for what you've shared. And I mean, there are various things sort of going through my mind, but just one I'll leave us with, which is that sometimes, you know, we think that the role of what we, our witness as Christians, is just getting people into heaven, which is a noble aim, isn't it? But it's also about getting heaven into people. And I think you've shown us, Emma, how you're a part of doing that, and how, of course, the Holy Spirit coming is a part of doing that. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Getting heaven into people. And, of course, people can't get to heaven without the work of the Holy Spirit as well. So maybe we'll want to think on that. Just because I've got the opportunity now, before I forget, before the final hymn, there are a couple of books here which we'd love to...